you make those choices. Become aware of your choices and choose things that bring joy, light, and love into the world, and drop the things that bring fear, enslavement, anger, frustration, and all those negative things, suffering and pain.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to a Woo for Thought.
Yes.
Which is not exactly a driving to the res.
Not exactly.
But it's close.
It's close.
Because it's us, your favorite hosts, Larry. Yes.
And Inelia.
Yes, and it's Inelia writing a driving to the res newsletter.
Way longer.
Times eight.
Yes.
So one we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, it's for lecturians.
For lecturians.
Yes.
I had to say it in English.
Yes, it's for lecturians. People who like to read, have a good read. A lot of meat and potatoes in my essays.
Right. This one doesn't just transmit a thought. This one is a thought leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And so on.
Mm-hmm. And the title of this essay is Locking Timelines. And you can find my essays at inelia.substack.com under the heading Woo for Thought.
Right. You'll find all the newsletters there, including the Woo for Thoughts. So you got to click on the little things to find the essays, right?
Yes.
They don't just like pop up necessarily. Mm-hmm. So this is an essay you wrote in August, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it then, and it seems to be... particularly relevant in this time, again, as your essays and newsletters tend to be. Whenever you bring them up again, they're relevant. All of a sudden relevant again. We just went through a eclipse.
We did, yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
We went through an eclipse.
Oh, my gosh.
Were you terrified?
No.
Why? Didn't you read all the stuff?
No. I was excited because we had the launch of our latest novel,
We launched a novel in the eclipse. And you know what? You didn't even know there was an eclipse that day when you picked
that
launch.
No, when we planned it. Yeah, yeah.
You knew there was a new moon, though.
A new moon, yeah.
But then you found out there was an eclipse.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think it's kind of funny in a way that you managed to pick such an auspicious day.
It's not the first time.
It is not the first time, but I also wanted to say this, this Locking Timelines essay and the eclipse and the narratives around the eclipse,
mm-hmm.
that's what makes this so, I think, appropriate for this time.
Yes.
Because you might not have been afraid, but there were plenty who were.
Billions.
Literally billions,
Literally
right?
billions of people were afraid of the eclipse. And the eclipse happened in April 2024, in case you're
wondering what we're talking about. Yeah. I noticed an insidious, I suppose, or a persistent use and appeal to authority for the reasons that you should be afraid this time, very afraid, you know?
Oh, that's interesting. Can you tell me more about that?
For instance, the indigenous wisdom keepers say you have to go inside and it's a bad thing. Definitely don't look at it because, you know, bad things will happen.
You do?
So there would be an appeal to the indigenous wisdoms, right?
Oh.
And state of emergencies from all the authorities, you know, you don't... we have a state of emergency during this eclipse. And the natural thought is, because whatever, right? Make up some kind of a horrible thing that could happen.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Maybe even you could recall them from past lives. Who knows? I mean, people remember probably past lives as Aztecs or Mayans or whatever, you know? You have an eclipse and you're going to get your head chopped off or your heart took out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So.
Indeed.
You would hear the share of a state of emergency and your body would go into emergency.
Uh-huh.
And then it would like just pick up whatever it has. Running that's emergency.
Yes.
And then if you actually look, the state of emergency was really just to put the emergency services on alerts because there's going to be 20,000 people instead of 1,000 people around. So, you know, don't go on vacation in the middle of this because we want you around in case there's a problem because there's a lot of people and there usually isn't. You know, it's just regular, normal things. It isn't that strange. It isn't strange to have the EMS services not on vacation during a public event where a lot of people will show up where there usually aren't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but if you only hear the state of emergency part, you think like, what's the emergency?
Right.
Yeah. For you, it's not. But that's relevant to this lock and timelines thing.
What's been interesting to me about this particular eclipse was that we've had tons of eclipses, you know, since we've been alive, right? And I've never seen so much fear spread about one, ever. I remember once even, I was walking home after taking my dog for a walk.
Right.
And I look up and think, what is that? What's that? Why is it going so dark all of a sudden?
There wasn't even any notice.
No, and I look up and there's the moon on top of the sun, you know? And everything goes dark and red and whatever's. And I'm like, wait, what?
It reminds me of the last time we had an eclipse that we experienced together, 2017-ish.
Yes.
Oh, and yes. We were outside with a group. And looking
we
at it
doing,
and enjoying
we
an it
event.
And doing
an
intention, a
yes.
thing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the mailman was delivering the mail.
And they didn't even look up.
It was in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It was dark. The light was that very surreal
fade. Amazing.
The whole world was magic for a minute, you know? It was like magically different. And mail in, drive off the next block. Mail in, drive on the next. Not even a pause to experience
crazy.
It. Yeah,
crazy.
That was like,
how is that possible?
It feels like the same experience and different timelines within it.
Yes. And but the timeline thing to me is really interesting because we can see and perceive if we tap into this information, which I've delineated in this article, actually, that all of us, each person, can really navigate their life in a very conscious manner and choose their most optimum timeline consciously, what they want, rather than what other people decide.
Right. I understand what you're saying, and that I think that that's part of why this timeline, the locking timelines, woo, is so relevant, because there were a lot of invitations to join a we'll just use the word timeline, right?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
A timeline that has not such great things in it.
Yes.
And I'm wondering how many of those timelines were like...
Happened,
right? That we're not like a part of.
Well, probably millions, huh? Or even billions.
It's a tough to know, because if you're not a part of that timeline, how do you know?
You don't.
Right?
Yeah, you don't.
So when we talk about that, we think about that, it gets a little bit... I don't know, a little bit wobbly.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that you wrote about in the article was your book, the Return series.
Mm-hmm. The Earth Files.
The Earth Files.
And Planet of
Planet
Entry.
Of Entry. Mm-hmm. Within that, you do some exploration around the timelines. And that's what's nice about your books, is like we could talk about timelines and then come up with a formula on a chalkboard math way to describe this in. And we could have probably a lecture about the nature of timelines. But the way that you impart your wisdom, so it's usually through stories.
Mm-hmm.
And these stories, the Return series,
mm-hmm.
has timelines and the experience of picking them in it.
Yes, it does. Yes, yeah. So there's a ways of you picking a timeline in a conscious manner, But we have to understand that we're not here as sole creators of reality. We chose this platform, which we call reality, we call Earth, we call physical reality, we call three-dimensional reality. All of these things, we chose it to have a shared experience with other beings. So this shared experience is navigated through gazillions of orchestrations that will come together to create a certain experience. And when you become conscious and you become aware of your role within that co-creation, that orchestration, you can start like pulling the little pieces together to have the experiences that you choose. And The point of this is we are here, the people who are listening to this and learning about these things, we're here to become aware of it and escape the or release the sleepiness around it so that we can bring this reality back to its natural form, which is simply light, is humane, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the chalkboard version.
The chalkboard version.
Right? And it's true. And it sinks in and I hear it and I resonate. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know a little bit about the books, The Return, and the story within it.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, there's an AI...
Mm-hmm.
223,
mm-hmm.
who's doing this exercise of locking in or trying to pick a timeline, right?
Yes.
Is this in a
collaborative way?
Is this an AI or a AI?
I think what you're, I don't know what you mean by AI or AI, but well, I think what you're saying is it's a sentient entity using technology to express in a physical manner. Or is it a physical machine that has no sentiency? Is that what you mean?
I think that you could say it that way, or you could say like there's two AIs, the one that's like a word calculator,
mm-hmm.
and you ask it something and it makes some word salad that you're probably going to like,
yeah.
or a picture salad that has images that you're probably going to like, or mm-hmm. even music that you may or may not like, but
mm-hmm.
it's basically a word calculator or image calculator.
Yes.
That's the AI we're living with. But there's an AI that apparently we're like the eclipse, mm-hmm. completely and totally afraid of. The AI that's going to Terminator us.
Terminator us.
Well, I mean, they literally named their network Skynet.
Yes.
I mean, don't tell me they're not trying to engage you in that.
Yes, yes.
That little narrative. So, I mean, is it this AI, that AI, or the other AI, or is it a third AI?
I love your reference, but you need to explain it for individuals who haven't watched that series.
The Terminator?
Yeah.
Well, if you haven't watched
it. Skynet.
Skynet is like the network.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure... it's a sentient AI who's decided the best solution for the planet is just get rid of the people because they're a virus on the planet or some story like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're, instead of, will they try the killing every human on the planet? Which is turns out to be hard because humans...
persist.
...are very persistent. They don't die easily. No matter how hard you try, they just don't die.
Exactly.
So they try to find some linchpins. So they invented time travel and they send somewhat sentient killer robots back to kill those who had the most impact on the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where they failed. The future that they failed.
So if they kill them before, right? If they kill them before... they get to the future,
or even they kill
then they
the
won't
mother.
Even have, or the mother, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a dystopian timeline thing where the AI has come to the conclusion humans need to be destroyed, and
mm-hmm.
we'll do that through all means possible, including ones you can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Terminator. So that AI is like a sentient AI who, in some misguided, but in some way. Could be interpreted as working for the planet because, mm-hmm. you know, humans are destroying the planet, of course.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
So, I mean, you touch on a lot of these topics in the Return series. Tell me about the Return series, honey.
The Return series is 3 books so far. The last one is called Planet of Entry, and this is where it really goes into exploring timelines.
Oh, okay.
Our sentient AI, 223, is on a quantum weirdness place of non-locality. And it's testing out or trying out different timelines with its co-creators and eventually gets locked into one that where they
is
survive.
Optimum.
Yeah.
Well, optimum... equals surviving.
Survival.
Because yes. All the other ones equals death.
Death for the entire team, yeah.
And the entire team includes...
pretty much the entire universe.
Well, the Return.
Yes.
the main character in The Return.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So some of these things are explored in that book, and it's actually going to come out in June 2024. So if you're listening to this after that, it should be at ibensnovels.com. You should be able to buy it.
Okay, well,
and if it's not June 2024 yet,
you should read The Return and Earth Files, the first two.
And you can pre-purchase it. So when it's released, you can get a PDF on it.
So tell me about The Return, though, the first book.
The first book?
Yes, because of
The Return.
You don't have to skip to the planet of entry if you haven't even read The Return yet. Well, and even if you have read it, it's worth a visit. It's back to speed.
So one of the things that I explore in that series is reality creation. And in The Return, I tap into some of the things that are inherent in the human collective and other collectives, sentient collectives, of having almost like a perception or a shadow of possible futures and how those come out in public ways in culture and music and movies and news. And I wanted to touch upon that because in a later book, I'm going to be showing how that dynamic of the human collective is actively exploited by people putting in what they want into the future into a popular format in order to step into that timeline. So they reverse technologied it, you know?
Reverse engineered it?
They reverse engineered it.
The process that the human collective uses to generate and orchestrate the future they want to experience by hijacking the process and pushing and having being born or having creating those who do what the human collective naturally does, but sideways.
Sideways, yeah. Upside down.
Wow, we really made a nice trap.
Yes.
But
the whole thing, I mean, it's really easy now when we talk about that to fall into the victim-aggressor cycle and thinking, oh, they're doing it to us and blah, blah, blah. But it's not that. Like that. It's not like that. It is about free will, and it's about the human collective and all the other collectives choosing to have a split instead of a general mass move into a higher frequency, fully aware, fully awakened reality.
So are you trying to say that free will means people are allowed to have the experiences they want to have?
Exactly, yeah.
Even if they're tricked into wanting to have these dark experiences.
Every person is a divine eternal being. They're a sentiency of omnipotence. And
doesn't seem that way sometimes, does
it? No, because when you come here as an eternal being, you purposely limit yourself to have a limited experience. For whatever reason, entertainment, I have never figured it out, but it happens, okay?
Well, telenovelas and dramas and romances.
Not necessarily. So it's like the telenovela is a perfect example of the light dark paradigm and making it very attractive to have light dark in that entertainment aspect. But when I've looked at reality creation and I've seen people playing the light dark paradigm, I've seen people playing the dark paradigm, I've seen people playing the light paradigm. To me, the most attractive, most colorful and varied of all those paradigms is the light paradigm, because it's a natural way. You're less limited and you can have a way more range of experiences. But we're programmed to think the telenovela or the drama, the suffering and pain, that's more entertaining. But it actually isn't. It's just food. You just become a cow that's been milked every day by dark entities.
Well,
so your choice, you know, indulge in low frequency stuff and become a cow food for other beings, or step into your awareness and actively create the paradigm you want, actively be conscious about all the timelines that you're navigating through to choose one and lock it in.
Right. Well, you know, when you say it that way, it does bring in a little bit of, judgment, because there are some people who want to be a cow.
Yeah.
And be milked for like dark experiences. Mm-hmm. What, who are we to judge them?
Who are you to judge them, honey?
I mean so, it. I mean exactly, it because the language the we use,
from the perspective, the
very language
that I'm
we use
it.
Has
righteousness
a righteousness attached to that yes. choice of experience. If you yes. like telenovelas, then all of a sudden you're a cow who likes getting milked.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but they're just freaking funny. I just can't believe how much trouble they can get into and then get out of.
Yes. And how many people come back from the dead and how many people are related.
Well, that's unfortunate sometimes.
Yeah,
but
pretty funny.
It's literally experiences, right?
Yeah.
So it's purple ones or blue ones or whatever way you would look at them without having the judgment. But the reason that there is the application of a bit of judgment, I mean, it is literally calling it cows being milked by dark ones.
Yes.
Is because you didn't come here to be milked Correct. By a dark one. You came here to be, those people who are listening to this, mm-hmm. you came here to be what?
Do you have an answer for that?
I'm not asking. I'm the asker. You're the answer.
Oh, well, I can tell you that you came here to embody a high-frequency reality, your natural reality.
Oh.
And that's why most of the people listening to us would have had that experience somewhere along the way in their life. There's something very wrong with the earth right now.
Yeah, that one where...
really wrong with the reality right now. It's
the
like,
one where, yeah, you woke up in the morning or you were born... and your first memories are coming and you're being yourself. And then you go somewhere where your parents say, this is where you go now. And then you're like, what on earth is this? And what's going on here? What is wrong with this place?
Yes.
Are you guys sure about this?
Right.
You like get, you become seated with doubts because, right, naturally you're a sponge absorbing in what you're being exposed to. But then at the same time, you come with your divine knowledge that, hey, this isn't right.
It is exactly, yeah.
So what do you do with that, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a numbers game, and for whatever reasons, after people decided to have a split, there's then the freedom of choice. You cannot force someone to have a light-dark experience or a dark experience if they don't want it.
Or a light one.
Oh, and you cannot force somebody to have just a light experience if they don't want it. So you have all sorts of validations and things attached to the dark experiences in order to propagate them to the light workers.
Okay, so just for sake of clarity, when you speak about a split, I understand it to mean somewhere around 2011-ish?
Yes.
A collective decision was made by the
collective.
Higher.
Our higher selves, I guess.
Our higher selves or the human collective as a whole and the other collectives on the planet.
Yes.
That there is such a thing as free will, which we all agreed to. And in that free will agreement, there are those who want to continue their telenovela.
Yes.
Which is well within their right.
Absolutely.
Because that's basically what free will is supposed to be about, is you get to pick what you like to experience.
Yeah.
Even if you think you've been tricked into picking it, you still, you know, flicked a channel to it.
You did.
Right.
And you lowered your awareness enough to be able to be tricked.
And you lowered your awareness enough in order to even be tricked.
Because you can't have...
So you can't even use the word tricked. You
can't
just voluntarily
have a light dark experience if you were fully awake. You can't. It's impossible.
It's impossible. So you have to like narrow it down in order to continue it. Mm-hmm. But you have to like voluntarily do that. Even if you say you're tricked, you volunteered to be tricked.
Yes.
Either which way you look at it, it's your choice to be that. Mm-hmm. But either way, it's fine. Okay, super, super, great. Continue on. Enjoy that experience. Some people are tired with that one, want to do a different one.
Yeah.
The issue is that they're not compatible, those two reels.
Correct.
One can't coexist with the other one happening. Mm-hmm. The light one and the light dark one, because there's dark in the light one. Mm-hmm. And I think there's light in the dark one. Either way you look at it, they're incompatible. Right. So to resolve the incompatibility, a split was proposed and accepted. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Now, when you say split, it means that what we call the planet of entry, I guess we would say.
Mm-hmm.
The book.
Oh.
The planet of entry. This planet, Gaia, chose to host a light reel.
A light reel?
Light reality.
Oh, reality. Okay.
Right? Yes. Right? I'm just trying to say, as I understand you've explained it. And the process of becoming and hosting light reality with the beings that are coexisting right now, having chosen differently, means that we have to have some sort of transition.
Yes.
And the transitional period means that if you, as I would guess, I mean, if you die, you don't get incarnated again in this reality if you're planning on sticking with the light dark, right?
Correct.
So it takes some time for that to happen in a natural way, or we could have a like an eclipse and everybody dies because of an eclipse or something.
Yes. I'm wondering what the
population
official,
of the planet is.
Yeah, the official population of the planet is today. It keeps changing. So, yeah.
Eclipses are disasters where lots of people pass, essentially, is how splits in reality occurred in the past. And I think the last splits we talked about, and we have heard about things like Lemuria and Atlantis and things like that, mm-hmm. they were rather traumatic, giant affairs that had very lasting traumatic, impact even on those who chose light.
Light.
And so I think our idea is to have this split occur in a way that isn't quite so traumatic.
Correct, yes.
So that means it takes longer,
mm-hmm.
and it occurs in a natural way. And every now and then it gets sped up because of the impatience level of those conducting the split.
Mm-hmm.
That's it in a nutshell, yeah?
Yes.
And those we can think of as timelines. There's a light timeline and a light dark timeline. Would that be reasonable?
You know, I've talked about this before. When I look at it in truth, are these things going to become two different timelines? I get a no, but kind of.
Yeah.
Like, not quite.
Yeah, because they're not coexisting.
So, is it a different timeline or is it
a different universe?
Universe within our reality.
Yeah.
A different dimension. You know?
So the,
all of them are not quite right. I don't have words for explaining how it's what I can see, but those are close. If we put them all together, they kind of give you the idea of what's happening.
This kind of reminds me of one of the things we talked about in that, or you talked about in the essay, which was quantum. And that's a similar issue we have with timelines or realities or universes or galaxies or whatever. When you say quantum, it has a defined...
The word quantum means very
within
small.
Within physics, it just means the smallest discrete
possible.
Particle.
Yeah.
But when we say quantum within general language, we can mean all kinds of things.
It means multiple timelines. It means all sorts of things.
It can mean physical real with magic in it.
Yes.
It can be... It can't describe or explain this, so it's quantum.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a nonsensical phrase if you use the physics definition. You say, it's like, this is a magic thing and I can't explain it, so it's the smallest thing possible. I mean, it doesn't make sense if you say
right,
it that way. So
right.
Whenever you use a language like that, it can tend to reinforce the locked timeline of light-dark
mm-hmm.
because you will be, I guess, what is the word that you used to describe someone who's
invalidated,
right? You'll be invalidated by using the language because you're using it in a way that it isn't physics way, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the invalidation of using timelines, you could say in timelines, and you could just get invalidated just by using that freaking word, you know.
Yes.
And if you use quantum and you mean magic in a physical real, all right, instant invalidation.
Yes.
So what do you do with that?
What happened was that when I looked at it, and I really love the word quantum, actually.
That's nice.
Quantum comes from the word quantity, and quantum being the smallest quantity, the smallest thing.
Right.
Measurable thing. Or even not even measurable. But when physicists started exploring quantum, the smallest base, all of the laws of physics went out the window.
Yeah.
And you got something called the weirdness of it, strangeness and weirdness.
Spooky actions at a
yes.
distance, for example, yeah. quantum entanglements.
Mm-hmm. All this weird stuff. And people who are awake and look and see more, enlightened people, immediately saw the correlation between what the physicists were trying to explain and the words they were using to the actual what these enlightened people experience as reality.
Right, right, totally.
And that's why they all got mishmushed.
They got like, yes, they say the right words in the right way. And then the physicists are going, you guys, go away. That's not what it means. You have no idea what it means. We don't know what it means, but it don't mean that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite funny. But it's true. So I guess the moral of the message is, you know, don't be too overly concerned with invalidations by terms, you know. If the term you're using isn't passing the message correctly, then, you know,
change the words.
Find the word or change the word,
yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, well, maybe not quantum, maybe more magic, more fairy world, or maybe alternative dimensional world. Or it's like, it may or may not be quantum by definition, but it's still magic.
Well, the reason why the word came into my essay was because I wrote, like you were talking about, the book, The Planet of Entry, right?
Yes.
And I spent, it's a big book, and the entire book was trying to explain something which biologists, quantum physics, chemists, biologists.
Quantum photosynthesis.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Quantum photosynthesis is explained in a one paragraph.
Or one sentence, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a paragraph. And it explained everything that I had taken an entire book to express. And like, this dude just did it in one paragraph while I took an entire book to try and express this.
Do you want me to read it?
Sure, read
it. Okay, this is from a Julian Dorian podcast. He's a comedian. And we were watching and listening to him interview a fellow named Ron James.
Mm-hmm.
And we were listening to it, and he said this paragraph, which I'm going to say. And then he said,
what?
And then he went on for a little while, and I'm like, what did he say?
you were like, what did you just say?
It doesn't matter.
And then he repeated it and says, what? He said that.
I was in a different timeline. I was driving timeline. So here's what he said. He said that what they found, scientists, was that this planet was, this plant.
Plant,
yeah. And I guess we could say planet, too.
Oh, I wrote planet.
No, you wrote plant, but we could say planet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's but planet.
In his words.
Plant.
Yes.
You're confusing me now.
This plant and the planet. But we'll just say his quote. His quote was this plant was collapsing into a quantum state, where it sent the photons on all possible routes through the plant and then collapsed back into the physical reality and took the most logical route. Basically, what it's doing is it's sidestepping the laws of physics, going into a quantum state outside the law of physics to determine its best possible way of executing the task within physical reality. So it's like, when I hear that, I understand that the light hits the plant leaf, and somehow that little bit of light goes into the plant and makes energy for the plant, photosynthesis. But
it needs to get
from the leaf to the wherever, the path that light photon takes isn't
predetermined
or obvious. It's not like there's a tube from here to here and that's the only way it goes and that's how it goes. It could go a whole bunch of different ways.
Right.
But there is a most optimum way.
Mm-hmm.
And the most optimum way is the one that's selected, and it's selected through a quantum state.
Yes.
Because all the possibilities are there. The plant's in the mode of, I want the optimum state, and so it takes that one.
Right.
So that's like, leans us into one concept. I'm not sure if it's related, but it has to do with soul reality and physical body reality. Because to some degree, it feels to me like the component of us, our soul, exists in that quantum reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of us that is body exists in the physical reality. Mm-hmm. Although they probably have some
overlay
smearing into each other, because that's the nature of human body.
Right.
Human body is physical body and soul. So obviously plants might be one of these ladders between those two realities if they often hang out in a quantum state to pick the best way for their light to go.
Well, that's the physical universe. I'm just saying.
The physical universe is that?
Yes. The physical universe is continuously testing all the bits out and then choosing which bits are most logical.
So is the soul real, more the quantum real, and yes, the physical body real?
No. It's to do with everything's quantum, tiny, tiny little particles, tiny, tiny little choices.
No, I just mean the magic. When I say quantum, magic? I just mean the magic.
Oh, okay. So in the magic,
not the little bits.
You are the photon. The soul is the photon, and yes, the reality, the physical reality, is the plant.
Got it. That's what I meant.
Okay.
I didn't mean the little bits. When I say quantum, I just mean magic. Okay. Unless I say small quantum, then okay, maybe we'll be like in the same language.
Yeah.
So quantum is magic.
Got it.
With a science.
When science looks science at the tiny frosting, little bits.
Yeah. It's magic with the science frosting.
Yeah. When science explores the tiniest little particles, then it's all magic.
Yes, you got it.
Nothing's solid at all.
Oh, my goodness. All righty. So,
are you confused yet?
I'm sure they're not, because it made perfect sense. Just know that when people say things, sometimes they mean other than what you might think they mean.
Yeah.
As we just demonstrated.
Right.
So, moving on. Within this essay of locking time, timelines.
Yes, locking timelines.
And this collapsing quantum state thing.
Mm-hmm.
You say that this paragraph is what you were trying to say in the entire book.
No, I didn't try to say it.
This paragraph is what you said in the entire book.
Yes.
Right. So if you heard that paragraph and it made sense to you,
Then
I would say read the book and see if it still makes sense. And if it didn't make any sense to you, then I would say read the book
and then, it will
and then
make
see
sense.
If it makes some sense, yeah, which it will.
Yeah.
I think whatever you do, just read the book.
When it comes out.
Yeah, well, when it comes out.
In June 2024.
Well, if you want a taste of it, you can get a taste of it right now.
Oh, actually, you can read it. Yeah, you can read it right away if you join Walk With Me now, because we did the first draft there. You can't read the last draft, but you can read the first draft.
Yeah, that's an interesting part of Walk With Me now. When you write in a book,
sometimes,
in this case, and sometimes you'll put out a chapter each time.
Yeah.
And it'll be like reviewed and like experience with their tribe at the Walk With You now, which is pretty cool.
It's called the book club.
Yeah, it's called a book club.
I write a chapter and we talk about it on a meeting once a week.
Yeah, it helps. It's like a co-creative process of writing the book.
Not quite. I write the book, but then we talk about it.
Well, in the co-creative sense, what I mean is that we're going to have a call on Wednesday, so you better
set
things aside and make sure you do your writing.
It's a buddy system. What's it called?
A buddy system.
What's it called when,
it's a buddy system. Yeah, I think that's a fine word.
So I have to finish it. Finish the chapter.
Yeah, because they're in there and they're poking at you to get out and write it and write it. But, we got 7 dogs, 2 cats, building a house, grass, teenagers, skiing, 100 things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to have the assistance of the focus, right?
Yep.
Anyway, read the book. It helps enable you to grasp this whole paragraph at a quantum state, as in magic.
Yeah. And
it's excellent to read.
And also the reason for us to start understanding this and using it is because of the split. And we're, halfway through the end of the split now. So from 2011 to 2030, and we're in 2024. It's not much time left, really.
Only 6 years.
Yeah, there's not much time left. So,
Because, guess what? Light workers get put off track.
Very easily.
All the frickin' time.
So easily.
And it's so easily. And it's like, one of the things to know, I think, to think about, is there is a natural, I've heard the words natural timeline, right?
Yeah.
There's a natural timeline Organic timeline. You've heard these words before?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, what they are is the organic one is like if it hadn't been interfered with by people wanting to pick other than...
Okay.
You know? Like
the paradigm would have been ended in the 1960s.
Right. That one. Then we've been in the organic timeline. We'd already been like not even have a split. It was just everybody's light.
Yeah.
In this reality. Mm-hmm. That organic timeline, the one that Gaia picked and mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. You guys want to come with me or, you know, hello. Mm-hmm. That one. That timeline is locked in.
Yes.
The part that isn't locked in is your involvement in it.
Right.
So if you become locked in to a light dark timeline, you'll have that light dark experience.
Yes.
Here, but you're going to die. I mean, everybody's dying. Right?
Everybody who's alive today is going to die.
Yeah. Eventually. So when you die, you're not coming back in the light. If you're interested in being engaged in the light dark, because you know, part of light dark realities include things like karma. So in a light dark reality, maybe you got killed. Now you got to get back at that guy because you know he has a debt. You got to help him even as debt. Otherwise, he's going to be stuck forever. I mean, we come up with all kinds of excuses.
Lots of excuses. Yeah.
So when you lock yourself into a light dark timeline, you might find it hard to get out of it. That's all I'm saying, right?
Yes.
So try not to lock yourself into a light dark timeline. So how we do that is by getting off track, because we didn't come here to do that.
Yes.
But we can get off track by things like meeting our soulmate. How is that going to do it?
I've seen that a lot, actually.
It's how about our twin flame? Bizarre.
Yeah. I've seen it a lot, and it's really bizarre, and I think it's a culturally created mess.
A culturally created mess? Yeah. Are you talking like a telenovela?
Yes, because it the natural state of you meet like somebody who you call your twin flame or soulmate.
Yep.
And the natural path of that is a joining of two families or two groups of friends or making it bigger. And the life of that couple becoming very rich. Richer, right? That's the natural...
I just got distracted by a raven.
Okay. But what's been happening, and I've seen it so many times now, is a person, and I can talk about my students or, you know, like my readers, a person is wanting to find a soulmate, right?
Yes, that's the most important thing. If they only could find their soulmate, then they
XYZ. Everything would be
great. Everything is going to be great. Yeah. Everything is crap unless they find them.
Right. So eventually they find someone. They're highly compatible.
Yep.
Next thing I know, they're gone. It's like they're not taking classes. They're not reading the articles. They unsubscribe from the newsletter. All the things that they've used, all the tools and everything they used to get that person, boom, they get the person and they're gone. And it's like it becomes a tribe of two.
Yes, and they become their own little universe.
Yeah, they go away. Sometimes they turn totally against the teaching. Sometimes they don't. They continue, but by themselves. They have their own study group and all the things.
Yeah.
And eventually a year or 3 or 4 or 5 years later, they come back as a couple, right? And they continue on their journey. Sometimes.
Sometimes not.
Sometimes not. Sometimes they come back after they get divorced. So
soulmate really and twin flames are like the same?
It's really bizarre because it's a cultural thing. In Western culture, the family unit is a unit of two, right?
The progeny of those two.
Yes. Yeah, so it's like it's been pushed in at a cultural level and it can't be real or true unless it's just that. So instead of making that tribe bigger or joining two tribes together, making it stronger, more awareness fields, more viewpoints, more interesting things, they isolate themselves or one grabs the other and go, you come in with me, you're not talking to your friends anymore.
Oh yeah.
And it's not just when I'm talking about people I know from students and things. I've seen it in other cases that people who have no interest in my work at all, they go and find their soulmate and suddenly they don't hang out with their friends anymore because it's the other person's friends they have to hang out with now.
Or it could be a gal maybe who had lots of male friends, and then she meets the soulmate, so they can't have male friends no more.
Girlfriends,
or guys with the friends that are girls. Now you can't hang out with the girls anymore because, you know.
Right.
Or any of your friends, because he's got friends that are cooler, or she's got friends that are cooler, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So that's in some, that's to some degree gets you off track of your purpose that you came here, because did anybody who came here as a light being to bring about the light reality come here because they needed to meet their soulmate to have a complete life, or their twin flame? Is that the real reason they came here?
You know, some people, it is the reason why they came here. But generally speaking, for individuals who know they're here because there's something wrong with this timeline or this world, it isn't. And it's just a kind of...
it can be, I think,
my gosh,
or
and a lot of light workers will marry a project.
Somebody
who needs them all the time and who's continuously having drama, and you have to get them out of them, and my gosh.
I have seen that before, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it possible that meeting your soulmate can bring you and keep you, or bring you back on track?
Yes, I've seen that too.
I have too, because I've noticed, like, let's say someone is doing work and they meet someone and they introduce them to that work and they're like, that's what's been missing in my life.
Yeah.
So they might like drop all their light dark friends also. So it can go both ways. In a way.
Right. It can go both ways. But
it's like they don't go to the bar anymore and hang out with the
darks.
Or the whatever. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you don't have to. You just drop the dark part of your light dark friends. You keep the light.
Okay. Yeah.
So now you're meeting the same people, but you're going for hikes. Or
hikes with them
together.
Instead of to the bar with them.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So we're just a little bit, I guess, corrupted by our experiences. I think there isn't a light worker that came to the planet who didn't get, in some way, engaged in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game that was being played, it's
a lot of options,
very compelling for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And the way that it's made compelling is the reason it's compelling.
Yeah.
Which is when you forget who you really are, that's how you engage in light dark stuff. And so you come here and you forget who you are, then, you know, all kinds of shenanigans come up.
Yes, indeed.
And it seems like the shenanigans likes to catch you. That's how you lock in a dark light timeline. So teachers and gurus, those can take a light worker off track too?
Some of them, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But it has to be a person's own willingness to go there, you know. I mean, I have some experience with the Scientology group, and for sure that's a light worker trap, 100%.
Right.
These, and then they get trapped through traps. Fear. Yeah. They get trapped there through fear. That's why the first thing that I put out there in my teachings was the fear processing exercise. Because if people use that, it's impossible for anybody external entity, organization, or person to control them.
Or trap them.
Or trap them. It's impossible.
Let me look at that for a minute. Yes, and I'm going to ask the obvious question. Do you know why that makes it impossible for them to be trapped? And also, I'm going to add a corollary to that, is you actually must do the fear processing exercise correctly.
Yes.
Because
we have seen a lot of people doing it incorrectly, but
because you can't be... The most common trap is fear. The lightworker trap is built on a fear of something or a lack of something.
Right.
Or a happening or a lack of happening.
Yeah.
It's always a fear. So with Scientology, what's the fear?
Oh my God, they're experts. They will find your fear and use it against you.
That's like part of the intro. Let me know what you're afraid of.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Gotcha.
We'll fix you up just fine. Yeah, in the Qigong school I was in, you know what the fear was?
What?
You know, your illness that you're going to die from. You're sick.
Yeah.
And so you're afraid you're always going to be that and you need to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to heal is magic. And this particular Qigong was about healing.
Right.
With a twist, one slight little twist at the end. We're going to heal up this body, and then we'll give it to somebody else.
Yeah, not such
a great bargain, but you know.
So there's a lot of places where the light worker who came here to reestablish the correct or organic timeline of light can get sidetracked and trapped into other timelines.
And those are teachers that are doing this also, is what you're saying.
Well, there's all sorts of people.
And gurus and
but at the end of the day, they're not doing
it
to others.
Doing it.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not the guru, the teacher, or whatever. It's the other participant, the willing participant to become that. To become like a victim. They really need that. And the part that you talked about earlier, they're being tricked, you know?
Like the eclipse tricks, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a state of emergency.
Right.
So just left like that, that could mean anything.
It could mean anything, yeah.
But if you aren't afraid and you go, what is this emergency all about? Oh, we don't want the EMTs on vacation because we have a lot of people showing up. So they, you know.
It wasn't a big deal.
It's not a big a deal. It's just don't go on vacation this week in case, you know, 20,000 people show up to watch and we have a couple extra heart attacks.
Yeah.
It's like completely explainable, but also you can easily take that way out of control if you're engaged in a fear paradigm, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's, I think, the point you're trying
to
make.
Right.
But the next point to that is you're voluntarily allowing that fear to be the one that drives you around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
So if you're a light being who's got off track because of, I don't know, soulmate, boyfriend, girlfriend, etc., etc., it's like they're inviting you and you're joining, or you pick them because you want to join that light dark, or why would you pick a soulmate or a twin flame or a teacher or a guru that's going to do that to you?
Well, it's not doing that to you. That's what I'm trying to say. Nobody does anything to you.
But you picked them.
Yeah, but they're not...
To do that to you.
They're not doing that to you.
But you picked them to do that to you. So they have to do it to you if you picked them to do it to you.
But
even what? Though you picked them.
They work to you.
Make your brain small and you go like...
No, that's just you playing that game. You want your brain to go small, so you do it. And it's co-creators. You find co-creators. And you have to find co-creators with authority. Authority means the writer, the author of your reality.
The authority. So
essentially
you
people.
Give your soulmate the authority.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen that happen now more than once with lots of people. They give the one they finally met or whatever so much authority over their life.
Yes.
It's like they don't even have a life unless it's approved by the other person or something,
right.
Or they want, I don't know, there's worthiness issues or there's lacks or there's, I don't
there's
know.
A whole
I have noticed
stuff,
it.
Yeah.
I have noticed it. Yeah. So while it's okay, I understand that we need to accept some responsibility for, you know, the experience that we're creating.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't called a lightworker trap because it's like a lightworker. Here's a possible choice for you.
Yes.
It's a lightworker trap.
What I have found, though, is that lightworkers go into the traps through low frequency programs that they've picked up on the way.
Well, you know? Yes.
They can't be trapped otherwise.
The trap has to
know?
Be baited with something that works.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So the essence of doing work on yourself is to eliminate the bait.
Yes.
That you will have in these lightworker traps.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the less bait you have, the less, I guess, challenging it is to avoid these traps.
Exactly, yeah.
Because they're not really interesting.
And right? I've seen people, you know, they have their full life and everything. They're a light worker. They came here for this reason and then they die. Yeah. And in the in-between place, they go, oops. Oops.
Why did it go oops?
Because it's like they got very distracted.
Very distracted with all these other things.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm going here for this. And then off onto a fairyland doing magic with some guru boy or a girl or whatever.
Or even just,
like,
you know.
It's very important. A little bit like Michael in the angel book.
Or spending 90% of their year watching YouTubes of trucks stuck in the mud. Right? Like 90% of their year was spent on that. Instead of things that they came here to do.
If you ever want to get unstuck, I'm your guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How come?
I know how to get unstuck 100 different ways.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. The easiest one is to get a tractor with the thing on it.
So not unstuck in your Leg work a trap but unstuck from the mud?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
This is man skills, honey. This is very important light worker stuff. You don't want to spend your life stuck in the mud, do you?
But you want to spend your life watching people get even stuck from the mud? Or stuck in the mud?
Just a portion of it.
Yes, a big portion of it.
It's become more since I have a partner who likes to watch it too. I recruited a youngster who loves Trucks in the Mud, so yeah, we watch a lot of Trucks in the Mud, I gotta say. Trust, honey, goodness. It'll all be fine in the end. Okay, now that we're done, you know,
what?
With me.
Got a little bit too close to home, huh?
I forgot already.
Yes, you forgot? Yeah. Okay.
That's one of the lightworker trips.
Yeah.
Tricks to continuing light dark experience things.
You forget stuff?
Just forget.
Yeah. You could have.
Oh, I'm so tired.
That's another one.
Go to sleep. Okay. So I want to get back on track. If it's okay, let's get back out of the mud for a minute.
Okay.
Light, dark, split. We got to work hard to keep the light dark happening in a place that is no longer agreeing to host it.
Yes.
And we have to work really hard to pick timelines that have light dark experiences in them when it's not supported by the natural state of the planet itself. So we have to close our perception down. All of the ways that we can. Those are generally fear. Those are drugs. They're like toxins, alcohols. And toxins also means, oh, now I'm sick. But we've closed ourselves down, so that sick means that's a bad thing. We're cleaning on toxins out. It means like now we're sick. That's another one of those distractions, lightworker traps. So all of these things are things that you have to work really hard at to keep the light dark timeline chosen.
Yes.
And so if you think about it this way, it's a little easier to go with the river, right? Go in the flow of the river, which is towards a light reality. That's actually easier. Why does it seem harder?
Does it?
Well, it seems harder when I look around, because I think one of the problems is there are so many, that's 70% plus, who have picked and are locking in that timeline for themselves.
Right, they like dark stuff, yes.
So everywhere you look around, you see all of this. I mean, 70 is the average for the planet, but in your particular locale, it might be 85 or 90%.
Or 99%.
Or 99%?
Yeah.
Holy mac. Yeah, so everywhere you look around, you just get, well, everywhere I look, it's like darks.
Yes. Enslavement, suffering, pain, exploitation, torture, war, fear.
It seems like the easier thing is, you know, go to the bar, get drunk, and join them.
A lot of people do that.
Yes.
You know, there was an area in Madrid, when I lived in Madrid, in the early 2020s, no, 20s, yeah, no, yeah. I don't know. Yes.
20-somethings.
20-somethings.
It wasn't 2020s because that was a little while ago.
That's now.
Maybe 1920s?
No, 2000s.
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 Okay.
Whatever.
Somewhere in the 2Ks.
Somewhere in the 2K, thank you. Yes, perfect. I lived in Madrid and my metro stop was one or two stations past the really rough, a really, really rough area of Madrid.
Okay.
And when I would get onto that metro, I would see what I would call the fallen angels. I used to call them fallen angels.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do?
This reminds me of Team Whisper, honestly.
Okay. So the fallen angels were people, when I look at them, they're pure light.
Like, yes.
Pure light, but they were full of alcohol and drugs and full of
Klingons and demons and whatever's.
Yeah.
Attachments.
Attachments to them.
Yeah.
And often they were like extremely psychic, extremely capable in the awareness, intuition way, but also extremely disabled because of the alcohol and drugs and pain and suffering and all that. And they would get on the train, you'd watch them, I'd watch them for a while, like their light and all the things attached to them.
Yeah.
And then they'd get off at that station and then the train would be free of them. There'd be none of them. I mean, not all of them, of course. I mean, there would be ones
some
that
of them
came
weren't.
In. Some of them were dark, you know, like some of them were just not even light in them, just demons and stuff.
Yeah, so you're not saying that everyone in the bar is light workers that
no.
are like.
No.
Just drunk or whatever.
Yeah, there's some, a lot of
some
people
of them were,
drunk.
But some of them were like dark workers.
Yeah. But because they took that metro so many times and that
you
place.
You could see the ones that were.
Yeah. They were. Yeah. They would
did
pop.
It seem like they were having an easier time?
Of what?
Of reality?
Opposite,
right?
Opposite, yeah.
It's,
they were
it only,
having an extremely difficult time
it only
in reality.
Sounds like the easier way from not within it, because mm. I was in that reality for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, it wasn't easier.
Mm. Yeah.
Not better.
Not better. Being an alcoholic.
No, it's not better.
No.
Matter of fact, it leads you to, if you're a light worker, an early exit.
Indeed.
Because you're so far off track.
That eventually you go.
Eventually okay. you go, delete,
yeah.
cancel.
Cancel.
I'm doing the opposite of what I came here for. I'm adding to the light dark, mm-hmm. not creating and locking in a light timeline.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. That's what can happen.
Well, that's a little heavy. What we need is a benevolent light guide, also known as not a dictator.
Yes.
A benevolent, not a dictator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the
I remember you told me that one time. It's like I was like, what's the best form of government, a best system to structure a society around? If democracy, where it's like, okay, the wolves are voting who's for dinner and you're the sheep. So you know what's for dinner is you,
yes.
Or the other one, you know, communism or socialism or blah blah blahism. Like, okay, everything you got, that's mine.
Yes.
It's like, what's the right form of government? And you said benevolent dictator.
Yes. And what did you say about that?
I said, what? A dictatorship? Because I'm trained, dictatorship's bad, right?
Yeah.
But as we talked about it, it made sense. It's like, yes, as a matter of fact, that does make perfect sense, because we really need structure, because it tends to be that we become distracted with the things that we're here just to experience. I just want to experience warm water and warm sand and sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to experience, I turn open the water thing and out comes water.
Yes.
Right? I want to experience trees and wind and the leaves falling on me, and then I look and I pick up the leaves and hold them on the sun. It's like I like to experience that, but I also want to go to the grocery store and have like 700 things to pick from.
Yes.
And the money to get them.
Right.
Right. So at some point some structure needs applied to the physical real.
Yes.
Because unlike the non-physical real, I can't just blink my eyes, turn, and then there's that there, and then blink my eyes, turn, and I'm over there, and there's food, and I don't even need food, and I'm not in that reel.
Mm.
I'm in the reel that requires food and time between thought and thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that requires some form of structure,
mm-hmm.
which, in a light reality, that structure supports those experiences.
Right, yes. It's life-affirming.
Life-affirming.
Supportive.
Supportive, etc.
Joyful.
So we were playing with words and benevolent, not a dictator, because a benevolent dictator wouldn't actually, light dictator wouldn't need to dictate anything.
Right, right.
So more like light guide, benevolent or benevolent light guide.
Yeah, guide, yeah.
Some structure, man.
Yeah,
otherwise, we'll come all over the place, right?
Yeah, plus it is part of the human collective's nature in a high frequency way to receive guidance and structure.
That's
so that
right,
the person
because,
can
I mean,
concentrate on what they're doing. Right?
We weren't designed to listen and not obey the right word, but you know what I mean? It's like, hey, everybody, let's go over here. From the right person, they'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
That's a natural structural form.
Uh-huh.
And it's just corrupted in some ways by light dark to have light dark.
Right.
Of course, by choice.
Right.
But the one time we say, no, I ain't listening to you, then we get the stake.
Yes.
So it's like kind of by choice. We could say no, but we might get beat for it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just playing with that. Mm-hmm. What I mean to say is it is a natural tendency to accept guidance and structure from those other light beings who defer would be the right word, but it would essentially be co-orchestrate the reality we both like to experience.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Try to find the right words. It's so kind of hard.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, especially when you talk about...
dictators.
Yes. But also timelines and your free will choice, right? Because dictators and free will kind of not compatible.
It doesn't seem like they're compatible, but you just said, you know, it was your free will choice to have a dark dictator, right?
Yeah.
So you could have a free will choice to have a light guide.
Mm-hmm.
We're calling it a light guide instead of a dictator, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's just got less baggage.
Yes.
Less baggage.
Yeah, less baggage. Yeah.
So as a light guide, what would you say about locking in a light timeline?
As a guide, I would say you listening, you know what to do. You know how to remove your low frequency engagements and programs and only engage with those individuals that you love at a light part, the beautiful part, the inspirational part, and don't engage with them on their dark side, right? Even though they might invite you and everything, say, no, I'm going to engage with you at a loving, beautiful part only. And, you're going to get resistance at first, but eventually they'll respond to it.
Mm-hmm. They do. I have seen it.
I have seen it too. And it's amazing when it happens. It might take a while, but it's worth it. And that's your job. Your job is to stop feeding the dark part of the reality through all the negative stuff that you might pop up with and start feeding the light,
So lock in the light timeline by not locking in the dark one.
Yeah, by not feeding it.
By not feeding the light dark one.
Yeah, it's not hard. It's not that difficult. But it's at quantum level. So it's quantum meaning the smallest piece.
Smallest piece.
At every day, at a tiny little piece at a time, at a tiny little second at a time, you make those choices. Become aware of your choices and choose things that bring joy, light, and love into the world. And drop the things that bring fear, enslavement, anger, frustration, and all those negative things, suffering and pain.
Okay. I think that sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Let's lock it in, baby.
Let's lock it in.
Okay. Love you.
Love you too.